Welcome to this meeting of the Mayor and Denver City Council. At this weekly session, city agencies brief the mayor and council members on various proposals and projects across the city. This meeting of the Mayor and City Council members begins now.
Thank you so much for joining us today. A couple of exciting things on our agenda this morning. We'd love to start with introductions. No better place than the matching partner to the president, our distinguished gentleman.
That might be a better place than that.
Paul Cashman, South Denver District 6. Couldn't be happier to be.
Jamie Torres, West Denver District 3.
Good morning, Amanda Sawyer, District 5.
Kinds, Denver's perfect 10.
Nora Alvidres, Lucky District 7.
Darren Watson, fine, District 9.
Kevin Flynn, Southwest Denver's District 2, and I could be happier.
For the record.
No.
Good morning, Amanda Sandoval, Northwest Denver District 12.
Great. Well, welcome. Thank you all so much for being here. I will open it up for announcements. I know we have a special announcement coming in a minute.
I'll go to the end.
Yeah. I may let, if we have other announcements, folks want to jump in with first, I'll come to Councilman Watson in a minute. So I'm going to let you be the closer on announcements.
I'll be the closer.
Yes. Other announcements.
I'll go.
Please. Thank you.
I just shared around to colleagues because I had a constituent reach out about property taxes and an article that they had seen covered by Colorado Public Radio about El Paso County offering up the option to pay them in installments. Denver has this. It just went live July 1st. Mm-hmm. So property taxes, whether you're a residential or a business, and there are some caveats. You have to own the property outright, but you can sign up for paying those in installments, and those can be a huge burden, as it would have been to her if you're an elder and you've got both property taxes and income taxes coming due at the same time. So just wanted to share that out. I just learned that it just went live for Denver beginning of this month.
Thank you. Councilman Hines.
Thank you, Mayor. I offered / threatened to do this at every meeting this week. Council President, thank you for mentioning this last night. Anshul Baga's last day, or his last council meeting was Monday. He will be leaving us for the not quite as great state of Washington, we do thank him so much for his service and his attention to the people of Denver and the legislation that we've had. So the party will continue, sir, until you've come.
Thank you so much, Councilman Hines. Councilwoman Beatrice.
Thank you. I wanted to share that the IMC Intern Neighborhood Cooperation, along with many District 7 RNOs, are hosting Beyond the Gold Posts, a town hall conversation around the soccer stadium coming to District 7. That will be this Thursday at 5 p.m. happy hour, 6 p.m. for the real business. Town Hall Collaborative at 525 Santa Fe Drive. That'll be this Thursday at 6 p.m. See you there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Councilwoman. Any other announcements, Council President?
Yeah, so every year on Tennyson Street, we have a big festival from 44th to 38th Avenue. So come down on Tennyson, it's really fun. There's live music and my favorite band, Hat Trick. No, they're not playing, but I will be there. So just come by and support small local businesses like Tennyson Street. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Any other announcements? All right, we do have a special announcement, special event, amazing effort being led by community members that Council Watson's gonna update us on. Sir, I'll give the stage to you.
Thank you, Mayor Johnston. And I wanna thank the committee for the, at least the Fording Committee for Denver 2030 Gay Games. Last night, Denver City Council unanimously supported a proclamation demonstrating our excitement and support for this event. And today, along with Mayor Johnston, who's been a long-term supporter of this event, we have a proclamation from the mayor's office, and I will read it. Whereas the Federation of Gay Games, founded in 1982 by Tom Luddle, has made a monumental impact on the world of sport and culture, championing a global movement rooted in the principles of participation, inclusion, and personal best, and embracing individuals of all sexual orientations, gender identities, ages, and athletic abilities. And whereas the Gay Games, a quadrennial international sports and cultural extravaganza, has provided an essential platform for LGBTQIA plus athletes and allies to compete, connect, and celebrate, breaking down barriers and fostering global understanding and respect. And whereas the Denver Mayor's Office passionately supports diversity, equity, and inclusion for all residents and visitors of the City and County of Denver, standing firmly in solidarity to ensure equal and equitable access, representation, and inclusion for everyone. And whereas the Denver Mayor's Office has been a fervent advocate for the Federation of Gay Games, upcoming city selection for the 2030 Gay Games, successfully navigating the bid process over the past several months and securing Denver as one of the final two cities, which is amazing, in contention. And whereas the Mile High City is ecstatic to host the Federation of Gay Games as they evaluate Denver as the potential location for the 2030 Gay Games. It's a lot of gay games. And it is confident that our city's hospitality, vibrancy, resilience, and unwavering commitment to equity and social justice will make Denver the obvious choice out west. And whereas the mayor's office, along with the entire city and county of Denver, warmly welcomes the Federation of Gay Games to our dynamic city this week, eagerly anticipating the opportunity to showcase the very best of what we have to offer.
I have the closing paragraph, which is now, therefore, I, Mike Johnston, Mayor of the City and County of Denver, Colorado, by virtue of the authority vested in me, do hereby officially proclaim July 15th, 2025, to be known as Federation of Gay Games Day. So huge congratulations.
Do a quick picture, not to interrupt all of the festivities here.
Yes.
And you signed, sir?
I'm already signed.
You already signed? Okay.
I'm stuck on this.
All right, wait, hold up. You gotta get beautiful. All right, there we go. Oh, he's in the middle.
You should be.
Oh, I'm in the middle. I am a middle kid.
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's do this first.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1. Awesome.
That's a lot of smiles.
So excited.
I just do want to say one huge thank you to a team from the delegation who's been working on this for years, has done an incredible job making the case. As you can imagine, they first had to win the bid to represent all the American cities, which they were successful, then had to compete against all the cities around the world, made the final five, and now the final three. One of the other cities was so intimidated by your bid, they dropped out proactively. So now it's just down to us and Perth. And so I think the international delegation is here touring the city this week to look at it as a potential site. So if you see them, say hello, welcome them, make the amazing case for Denver, because we would be so proud to be the host in 2030. Thank you for making this possible for our city.
Well, thank you to the council. Thank you, Mayor. We are so proud to be representing Denver. I've been with the Gay Game since 2010, and I've always been a civic person and have lived in Denver since 2000. My husband and I have been together since 2002. So we live in Congress Park. But we have two final steps. So right now, I have to jet right back. We're in the middle of the site inspection. Denver Botanic Gardens hosted us last night to get them nice and warmed up. But we're visiting all the sites. And then tonight, we have a leadership celebration at Champagne Tiger. Everyone's welcome at 7. And then tomorrow night at RealWorks is our community night, and we will have the governor and the mayor speaking, as well as Representative Titone, and also Attorney General Phil Weiser will be there. And then the finale will be breakfast with the mayor. And so that's step one of many steps, but our final step will be this October, we'll be presenting to the Federation of Gay Games voting members worldwide. And on October 27th, Denver will earn the honor of hosting 23rd.
All right. I just marked it on my calendar from your words.
So if you don't mind, we have to get back to
this. Thank you all. Yes, you have, go woo them all. Great. Thank you all so much for being here. And thank you, council members, for letting us recognize their efforts and work. And thank you, Councilman Watson, for your leadership. Okay, I think we do have one topic for general session today. We do have one topic for closed session that's after the public meeting. But we just wanted to do a check-in on the process on the bond. Obviously, many of you all are in the midst of individual briefings and have had many other conversations. In addition to our more than 50-plus public meetings, we want to just give a quick update on where we are and mostly thank people for their incredible work in getting us to this stage. You go ahead to the next slide. Obviously, as you all know, because you hosted them, you all were incredibly influential and supportive in hosting community conversations all around the city this winter and spring. We had 13 different community meetings around the city that invited people to come and participate. We had 5 different subcommittees that you all served on to help provide feedback and input throughout the process, and then have had these monthly bond work group meetings as well, all of which have been really informative and supportive of getting to the right set of ideas heading forward. The community engagement, I think, has been unprecedented in this process. We're really proud and grateful for the team on our outreach team, plus all of your council offices. We had more than 7,600 residents who participated in some way in this process. That was a little more than 6,000 who took our survey response to provide direct feedback on projects. Then more than 1,000 attendees who've been at now the more than 50 public meetings we've held on this process throughout the winter and spring. And so really grateful for all of your involvement, both as council members as well as members of the public. A little bit about how that process has gone. That 7,600 residents generated a little more than 1,100 project ideas, all in, totaled a little more than $6 billion of potential investments for our committees and subcommittees and community members to work through. Go ahead to the next slide. Here's the process for those of you following it from home on how that worked if you weren't able to make it to one of those community sessions where we walked through this process. We took all those survey responses, took all those public responses. We combined those into the 1,100 projects that were valued at about $6 billion. Those then were sorted through by subcommittees of residents and council members who made 215 project recommendations to go forward from those five subcommittees. Our executive committee did an incredible job of then hosting their own round of public meetings and doing the thoughtful work to try to come forward with what were about 48 projects with a total value a little over $970 million by the executive committee. That was the initial list that was released. We have now been working with the council with their feedback to issue a updated version. As you know, the process is public engagement, committee subcommittee recommendations, committee recommendations to our office. We then work on making a set of adjustments with council feedback. We then give it over to the council. Council moves it through the ordinance process. So based on your initial feedback, we've already made some initial changes. As everyone knows listening at home, this proposal does not raise any taxes. It is a debt issuance to be able to spend on public projects. We've been able to actually add more projects based on your feedback to the list that we've updated now. We've reduced the total cost about $920 million, but still added in more projects. They break down roughly about 43% of those projects are on connectivity, the roads and bridges and infrastructure we need to keep the city running safely. About 41% on parks, rec centers, cultural facilities, and others, and about 15% towards public health and safety. Looking for some balance across projects and across council districts, but you'll see that. And we will actually release publicly today that updated data that the council has seen on what we think the specific costs of those projects are and what we think those enumerated projects are to get to that about $920 million number of the current draft. That's obviously before we take more feedback this week, and then we'll have an introduced version for council to be working on going into next week. Next slide. Only last thing I would add is some people ask, you know, why is it that we do this? What is the direct impact, not just for my neighborhood on the parks or rec centers or public spaces, but on the economy and on jobs in the city? And I think the important data for us, this comes from the University of Colorado Boulder from the LEED School, which is these bond dollars that are invested do drive direct economic impact in our community. They both drive jobs and they drive contracts. They drive purchases of materials as well as employment. And they just about double every dollar we spend in terms of the net impact in the neighborhood. So $900 million spent is about $1.7 billion of economic investment for the city, all of which matters, as well as just keeping up with the safety provisions we need to make sure we are repairing and improving all the core infrastructure of the city. And so, as you all know well from the capital improvement project list, there's always more capital improvement to be done than we have dollars available to do at any one time. A bond is a chance to try to catch up occasionally on the backlog of those projects. We give ourselves a better chance of being on target to complete them. So that's a little bit about where we are now. Obviously, our team is doing individual briefings with all the council members. I know you all are having discussions directly, taking more feedback and preparing for a more formal submission we would send to you, I think, by next week. So just wanted to mostly say thank you for everyone's participation in the process to this date. I know there's a lot more still to be done. I've had great progress towards those goals. Thank you to the council president for serving on the executive committee as well, which had a very challenging task to take a lot of great ideas and find a way to build a path that we could afford. And so real grateful for your leadership in getting us here. I know there's many more conversations to be had about this. I just wanted to have a quick update here. Happy to open up if there are any questions or comments folks have on this topic as we head into a week of additional discussions. Yes, Councilor Torres.
Thank you so much. I also want to thank President Sandoval for presenting us on the exec committee. In the park subcommittee, as was probably evident in every subcommittee, we had a lot of new project recommendations or requests, a lot of existing, not all of them will make it into a bond. And it still wasn't clear to us as we were discussing even the parks projects, what the consolidation will be of new recommendations, of existing recommendations, how they are getting queued up in this and future CIP. I know we don't just plan a six-year CIP, we also plan a 12-year. Like, what does that look like? When we submit our our district micro priorities. Those are granular, and sometimes I feel like I never know if anybody even looks at that. And those are granular, like new traffic signal here, improved intersection here, and some of them we've been tracking since I came into office in 2019. So I still have that lingering question about how we pick up these additional projects and how we're queuing up everything else that is in our CIP.
Great question, Council Torres, and you and I talked a little bit about this, and I think it was great feedback. I think there are two parts of this. One is both there was a question and there's also an infrastructure question around on parks. As people may know, we have two major sources for park improvements. One is obviously this bond can provide support. We also have the Parks Legacy Fund, which can be used for ongoing support development of parks. And so one of the things that you asked about was, can we get clear on what's going to be in the bond versus what's going to be in the Parks Legacy Fund, and how do those map out over time? And similarly for infrastructure projects, what's going to be in the bond and then what becomes a priority in the CIP over the coming years? Because as you noted, there are some projects that are better suited for a bond and some projects that are better suited for ongoing CIP investment based on the size, the complexity, the readiness, and the cost, frankly, that whether they can be carried in CIP or legacy. So I think we're committed to having our team both from Parks and from Dottie are happy to do follow-up briefings with any individual council members who want to do that on that list, and we'll happy to come back with that answer to kind of, here's what fits in the bond and here's what becomes priority in legacy fund or CIP.
I'll just add, I think that's really imperative so that we can set true expectations in our community, given budget and staffing tightening in the coming years. So,
thank you. Great feedback. Any other comments at this moment? Okay. Councilman Watson.
I'll make a quick question, and I know, once again, thank you, Council President, for your leadership. I mean, this is not easy, and I think you shared the amount of additional steps you've taken. I'm very happy you are on the committee to kind of steer. And to the executive committee members, I think there are folks here in the audience. Thank you for your work and for all of the folks who came out in the community to provide feedback. To build on Councilmember Torres's question, I know that in District 9, a stout two-way was one of our tier ones. We've been having discussions, I think, for almost 15 years of the importance of that safety measure. Folks are screeching through 5 points to get downtown or to screech back out. It has been a top priority for almost all of that time. I think back when Council President Sandoval was the staffer for Montero, it was a priority. And so I think having a clarity on CIP, because this is no longer listed as an identified, at least for now, one of our tier ones for the bond, knowing that this is in CIP because community has been asking for it for a long time, I think is essential for us to be able to communicate back as we're having our monthly meetings with community as we move this through council. But I want to say to my colleagues, I know that this is important, $3 billion or whatever number was, we can't get them all, but this bond is necessary in this time. I mean, with the work that we need to do, the gaps within funding, I know there's a way for us to get to a bond that can be presented and that can pass in November. And I'm looking to continue working with Council President and the administration and executive team to make sure we get something that can get through council and get to the floor and get to the people. Thank you, Madam
really
President.
Appreciate it. Thank you for that feedback, and definitely we'll follow up on the CIP question. I think we probably will need to update CIP based on what does or doesn't go through in the structures. I think that's the appropriate time to do that. Really appreciate that. Councilman Hines.
Thank you, Mayor. Council President, I also want to thank you for your continued, every step of the way, reaching back out to each of us individually and us collectively to make sure that we can provide feedback to whatever step was in the process. And Mayor, thank you for for presenting this and for giving us the opportunity to continue to weigh in. I look forward to the conversation later this week with you, your team, and I hope that we can, just some of my thought process, just as a plug for the conversation later is, I was on the Transportation Committee and I want to talk about the priorities that the Transportation Subcommittee recommended versus what we see on the proposed list. I'd also be interested in, you have the number of projects listed. I'd love to see the kind of the dollar amount for council districts as well. So just putting that as a plug too. So I think that's the plan, but I just wanted to put that there anyway.
Great, great point. That is the plan. We'll have all that information for you in the conversation.
Great, thank you,
Mayor. You bet. I think Councilman Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was surprised by the bottom line total. It seems a lot higher than it was when we first started talking about this. 900, how much was it?
It was 970 in the initial package from the committee. It's down to 920 now. In the current
920, okay. When we first started talking about it, unless I'm not remembering correctly, we were in the mid-800s. And so what I would like is for the Department of Finance to provide us with an analysis of our outstanding GO debt for the other issues, how they're paid off. I want to understand how we are maintaining the mill levy where it is now and how it's leveraging those additional 100 million, you know, 50 to 100 million that is in the bottom line now. And I'm trying to fully
understand.
Question,
we can come back. I don't know if you want to do that now.
I don't think you would have.
Great. So we have all that information. We do have bond capacity in both places without having to raise any mill levy dollars. This would not have any fiscal impact. They'll give you a detailed briefing on that in the conversations, but there is more bond capacity than is allocated in this project. We would never ask for more bond capacity than we have available.
Okay, so I'd like to see that in a chart in writing.
Council President.
So in November, Councilman Sawyer, do you remember what month it was in November? We had a dedicated committee meeting for bond, and it showed our bond capacity, and I've been going back to that presentation and watching that, and we actually have a lot more. And so that committee, he breaks it down, Justin breaks it down so succinctly, and it shows what our mills go to, how many mills we have outstanding, when our debt goes away.
Gotcha.
And so I've been referencing that committee and that slide deck. I actually had met with somebody who isn't in the city who does bonds for a living, and I was like, okay, so here's our slide deck, here's what I'm hearing in my community, help me break down to a different narrative. And he was like, you have, so I would just encourage you to look back at that and it's so succinct. And it's great information. I've been sharing it publicly since that committee. I think it's one of the better presentations that we've had, yeah. Not to diss anyone in the past, but when was it?
It was in FinGov. I can't remember what month it was.
But either.
It's not only public, but maybe the Department of Finance could resend it to everyone, because it is a fantastic slide deck that really goes through everything very granularly. It talks about the money. There's actually a great slide in there that has our debt obligations, and you can actually, like, if you're a visual person, you can see them drop off and see the difference between the two. It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Thanks for flagging.
Yeah, I've been using it. I think
I love the same slide.
I know, right? Like, you know exactly the slide I'm talking about. Yeah.
And I've been sending it out to my constituents. Like, I think we send it out at least two or three times a week and ask everyone to watch it. And then if they have questions, to come back and I can re-explain it. But I've referenced that committee more times during this process. I even mentioned it during the executive bond committee because a couple of us had questions. So I was like, here, not to do homework, but here's a great resource.
Thank you, Mayor. The other
Nicole Doheny, our CFO, already gave a smile and a nod. She will resend to you all that glorified slide deck that has been referenced. Yes.
The other question I have is about some of the priorities that we all have put on our plates, and some of the ones that were mine are not on there. But I've been told that there are alternate funding mechanisms to achieve them, and that was maybe 6 weeks ago, and I haven't yet seen the capital stack for, or the sources of funding for those priorities outside of the bond, and I'd like to see those well before we vote.
I know specifically those topics in that conversation and that capital structure, and I think they'll be ready for that in their conversation with you about those priorities. So I'm aware of that for sure. And obviously, do come back to the challenge we all have of the $6 billion of need and $800 to $920 million.
There's one of them that's been on there for all 10 years I've been here,
yes.
As you know.
I think we have a plan for that one.
It's been through three bonds and rejected. This will be the fourth time. So it's...
Yes, I know. I'm well aware of that, and that'll be part of the conversation, I think, in the direct briefing.
Thank you.
All right. I think President Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for the slide deck. And really do appreciate the exec committee and the work that got put into this, and Council President as well, leading this team. Can you just go through a little bit more of the timeline? I know that everybody has briefings, but just so we know when the ordinance language will be available and when those final projects will be and dollar amounts will be ready.
Yeah, Thursday.
Thank you. So we have briefings all this week. Some I know have already happened. And then initial, correct me if I'm wrong, Angela, initial ordinance language would be submitted Thursday evening, and that would be in committee next Tuesday. Is that right, Madam President?
Yeah.
And then you all would have committee hearings and floor discussion from there. So like that is our timeline over the next several weeks. Anything that I missed, Angela?
Courtesy public hearing on July 20th. There will be a courtesy public hearing on first reading, not second reading, on Monday, July 28th.
So it'll be a week from next Monday.
Yeah.
Councilman Cashman.
What is the last possible date for approval?
I can help with that. So it's a little bit complicated. So with the council president has the right to use a waiver to be able to put it past the election, like what you're supposed to do. So without using the waiver, it's August 1st. If I had to use a waiver, it would be, let me get the exact date, because I asked Luke this for the Excel franchise agreement the other day. So
7th?
So August 4th without a waiver.
25th?
25th with a waiver. And I have I have to agree to use that waiver. Council President Torres used it last year.
It would have been Gilmore for Rise. Oh, did I use it last year?
You used it last year, I think, for one of the ballot referrals, and then I used it for another ballot referral. Maybe you used it for Denver Health, and I used it.
When we referred Rise, it was after that date, so yep. Councilwoman Gilmore would.
So Council President Torres, she used it right before I got into office, and then I used it for 2R last year. So it's a whole letter I have to submit.
And right now we're scheduled for August 4 vote, is that right?
For final reading, correct.
And one of the reasons, Councilman Cashman, you probably know from past ballot measures, is when you submit then ballot language, it has to be approved by the committee, and people can litigate over the language of a suit, of a measure. And so if we were to have protests about, sometimes there are anti-tax groups who want to litigate about the validity of a ballot measure. And so if we had to resolve any language changes, that gives a little time to still get the ballots printed.
Gotcha. So it needs to be through the entire process by August 25th. Is that what you're saying? In case...
That's my understanding. That's right. So it has to be through that process in time to have both ballots printed and any language on the ordinance itself that would be on the ballot resolved.
And I would like to point out, we just received one of the final head nods we will be getting from Mr. Baga.
We're gonna just have him on Zoom from Washington in case someone needs a head nod. You can also walk down the aisle to stop us if we're having the wrong conversation. It's a longer walk from Seattle. Thank you, Councilman Cashman. Any other questions on that one? Okay, thank you all for your incredible engagement and support. Looking forward to the next few weeks of work together to get something that we will be proud of and the city will be excited about. With that, we are adjourned. Actually, we have just a closed session after this. I'll thank members of the public for joining, and we will sign off and close the room. But thank you all for being here.